with... This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. We've seen the changes brought to Charlotte's urban core by the Lynx Blue Line. Economic development along that line from South End to Uptown has been substantial, and similar growth is expected along the line as it creeps northward to the University City area. What if the same kind of economic benefits could come from a different kind of corridor? Experts say that by linking the many trails and the various pieces of greenway that we've been developing around Mecklenburg County could bring exactly that kind of economic boost. They want to link all of those pieces together into one continuous 26-mile greenway stretching from Pineville through the Center City, out to UNC Charlotte, right up to the Cabarrus County line. In this hour, we meet some of the people working to make that vision a reality. Joe Fry is project manager of the Cross Charlotte Trail for the City of Charlotte. Good morning and welcome. Jay Higginbotham is senior project manager for Mecklenburg County Asset and Facility Management. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And they're both obviously in our Spirit Square studio. With us by phone from Kansas City is Candace Damon, vice chairman of HR&A Advisors. Her company focuses on projects that bolster the sustainability of American communities. Already, she's worked here with Charlotte Center City Partners on the Blue Line Rail Trail, the revitalization of Charlotte's Third Ward, and the planning for Romare Bearden Park, among other projects. Thank you for joining us as well, Candace.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Now, the county already has about 42 miles of greenway, if I understand this, but you want to connect, 26 of those miles to create the Cross Charlotte Trail. Where are we? And I'm not sure which one of you to ask about this. Where are we in the development of this project?
Well, Michael, this is Joe. Right now, Little Sugar Creek Greenway, a lot of people are familiar with it. The county developed it. Stretches from 7th Street next to Uptown down to Brandywine Road behind Park Road Shopping Center.
Right.
That's where it ends. The city is currently...
And that's what we all call the greenway, but it's just one of the greenways.
That's the best-known greenway. It's the highest profile. So the city is currently working on design of extending that greenway further south from Brandywine Road to Tivola Road.
Okay.
And the county, at the same time, is working to take that extension from Tivola Road all the way down into Pineville. To the north of there, there's the Toby Creek Greenway that runs through UNCC and connects with the Mallard Creek Greenway. The idea behind the Cross Charlotte Trail is to connect north from Little Sugar Creek Greenway, which actually exists north of Uptown as well. It goes up to Parkwood Road. To stretch that north and Toby Creek south to connect those two together through the Northeast Corridor. And then to take the Mallard Creek Greenway north from where it ends at the university up to the Cabarrus County line, and that's what would create that 26 miles.
Now, there may be people out there who have never been on the Little Sugar Creek Greenway or any of the other greenways, and they may be wondering, why is this important? Why is it?
Well, it's important from a connectivity standpoint. It creates a continuous linkage from Little Sugar Creek anyway, from downtown all the way to the state line, even all the way through Pineville. The efforts that have been going on to date are not only from a recreational and trail standpoint, but they cover floodplain mitigation, stormwater improvements all along the way too. So it's a multifaceted project that has been ongoing for over 10 years now, with a lot of overriding goals.
And as pieces of this come together, like the Little Sugar Creek Greenway, which has been in, up and running for what now? I lose track of time.
It's been in process for over 10 years now. Actually, if you go all the way back to the Liz Hare section, which is adjacent to the hospital, you're reaching all the way back into the late 80s, early 90s with that project. So
as these come online and people start to use them, is this something that people, citizens, tell you they want more of? Has it become an easy sell because of the greenway that goes from the metropolitan area down to Park Road Shopping Center?
Well, Michael, we started talking to the public, the city's team at least, last summer, and we weren't sure exactly what the reaction was going to be. We knew there would be a lot of benefits to this, but it's been overwhelmingly positive. In 20 years of working in public projects, I've never worked of or heard of a project that I've seen such overwhelming positive response.
What do they say to you? Why do they like it?
I think, frankly, people are looking for ways to recreate, but what we're doing in creating this continuous trail, we move from a mile or two here that people can use for recreation to walk their dogs, go for a jog, to what also becomes a transportation facility. So it's an alternative way to get around. People, I think, are tired of getting their cars. They'd like to get out. They'd like to be able to bike to work. They'd like to be able to walk to the store. They'd like to be able to walk to school. So commute, and it just can't happen soon enough for them from the reactions that we're getting.
So that brings let's bring Candace into this conversation, because you work all over the country, Candace, with various projects, and some of them like these, others not. How does a trail for walking and biking and recreation and communing with nature also function as a connector of commerce?
I think a trail works as a connector of commerce, really, to the extent that it's designed to be a connector of commerce. So most of the trails that we're seeing developed around the country are experiencing both the same extraordinary opportunities, but also the challenges that the current trail system in Charlotte experiences, which is to say they're relatively short. And they tend not to do a lot of connecting. So what's exciting about what the Cross Charlotte Trail represents is the opportunity to maximize the benefits that you're already seeing to connect trails and to connect centers of commerce and activity that aren't currently connected. If I may add to what Jay and Joe were talking about a moment ago, trails create not only the environmental, recreational, and transportation benefits that Jay and Joe were talking about, but have been clearly established in cities all over the country as creating economic value as well.
Let's talk about that. In the places that you've worked or that you know about where these trails have been in place for a while, what kind of economic benefit has been seen?
You're really seeing two strong sources of benefit and bits of other kinds. Principally, what trails do is create incremental value to existing residential and to some extent retail development. So we have shown, and other consulting firms and other cities have shown, that a well-designed and maintained trail means that the residential properties that immediately abut it are more valuable than residential properties and retail properties a few blocks away or miles away, and that we've shown all over the country. Second, we've shown that developers want to develop near trails, and there's probably no better example of that than Metropolitan at Little Sugar Creek Greenway in Charlotte, which is widely viewed as a national model and talked about nationally as an example of what trails can do. And then some trails, like the High Line in New York City, are also bringing new tourism to the city and are beginning to strengthen the brand of the city to indicate to the rest of the world that the city in which they're located is a good city to do business and to live in.
And why is that? Why does one follow the other?
I think people like them. As we become less car dependent, it is, as Joe said, a fun, pleasant way to move around. As we all think about trying to become fit and working in cities. And I'm sorry, noise in my background.
I was going to say, that's a very loud alarm clock you have going on.
They're just fun. And I think that fun gets monetized in the value of adjacent properties.
If you look at the a number of survey results that the county has gathered through the years of the countywide park and recreation master plan, which includes greenway development, consistently greenways rank at the very highest from a public desire standpoint. So,
you know, we've been an automobile culture in America for 100 years, and Charlotte is certainly an automobile city. It was designed to be one. The streets downtown are narrow, and the outlying suburbs are clogged. They're just with cul-de-sacs and things like that. You see these greenway, the expansion of this greenway to the Cross City Greenway, the
Cross Charlotte Trail.
You see this not just as a recreational vehicle or corridor, it is a commuter corridor. Do you really see a time when people will get on their bicycles in Pineville and ride to uptown to go to work, or from uptown to the University City area, or vice versa, really?
So, yes, I think so. You know, with 42 or so miles on the ground, what's happened over the years is those miles are segmented and mm-hmm. here and there throughout the county, and with the greatest contiguous segment being around 7.8 miles long on the Clark's Mallard Toby Creek section. Okay. It's currently very difficult to get from point A to point B on a greenway because of how segmented that is. Once we start to tie all these segments together, which we're kind of at a critical mass there. We're going from a point where there have been a number of separated segments throughout the county to corridors that are long enough to actually use for commuter purposes. I think that the Clark's Mallard and Toby system that's in place now is being used quite a bit for a commuter route to the university, to UNCC. Hmm. I know that there's a lot of demand up and down the Little Sugar Creek corridor to hook into the street system and ultimately hook into the light rail system, which is really not that far away in the westward direction, so that it may be a combination commute of partially a bicycle route so you might use a trail, and then you might use a little bit of a bike lane in order to get you to a light rail station, which mm-hmm. could take you directly uptown ever getting in a car.
Are people who, say, live on King's Drive somewhere deciding, okay, I'm going to go and get groceries at Trader Joe's at Metropolitan and come back on their bike, or go to Park Row Shopping Center and go to the Harris Teeter to get groceries and come back? Are they doing that right now?
Yes, Michael. There are a lot of people doing that now. All you have to do is spend a part of a day out on the Greenway, and you'll see people doing this. I personally know people who commute to work in uptown on the Greenway by bike. I know a couple families who are now car-free, even with children, and are getting around by bike. And they will come from further distances. I know they'll do it because people are telling us they want to do this.
Candace, you mentioned New York City's High Line Trail, which is on a reclaimed elevated rail line, and you turned it into a pedestrian park, and you mentioned that it's also attracting some tourists. New York City's very different geographically from Charlotte, and a lot of people don't own cars. In a place like this, do you see a significant use of a trail like that for commuting, or more of a recreational opportunity?
I think it's both. I think you're seeing all over the country, including in places that are far more car-dependent and car-culture-driven than Charlotte, places like Dallas and Los Angeles, a real shift in the way particularly the young professional generations are starting to commute, and that you're seeing car ownership rates come down, and that's across the country, not just in dense urban places. And I date myself, but I know the age of some of the people on the phone with me. The first thing you wanted to do when you were 16 was get your license. That's just mm-hmm. not true anymore. So I think it's very definitely both a mode of transportation and a mode of recreation, which in fact is one of the interesting challenges of designing a trail, is trying to make it useful, accessible, and welcoming to a variety of kinds of people, variety of different athletic skill levels.
Candace Damon is vice chairman of HR&A Advisors. They're a consulting firm that consults all over the country on projects like the Greenway. Here, Jay Higginbotham is with the senior project manager for Mecklenburg County, and Joe Fry, project manager for the Cross Charlotte Trail for the city of Charlotte. We asked a question on social media earlier today. Do you use the city's greenways? How will connecting them all change your use of that greenway? And we'll share some of the comments that have already come in with you when we come back. And also we'll hear a success story. Not that we don't have our own to tell, but we'll hear a success story from another nearby city that seems to be doing a lot of things right, among them greenways. We're coming right back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and LRC Language Resource Center, providing professional interpreters and translators for spoken and sign languages, including document translation, on-site phone and video interpreting. Details at languagerc.com. Changes in this state's voting laws have resulted in, surprise, surprise, a court case. A federal trial in Winston-Salem, which is drawing national attention because the outcome could potentially affect voting laws in many other states. The plaintiffs say North Carolina's new voting laws violate the Voting Rights Act of 1965. So we'll look at the arguments in the case, the history of voting rights here, and the possible outcomes of that trial and what those outcomes might mean tomorrow morning at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, President Obama begins a campaign to sell the Iran nuclear deal at home and abroad. Efforts to address objections from Congress and the concerns of key allies like Israel and Saudi Arabia.
Join the conversation on the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about the connection of the various greenways and trails that we've already established or are thinking of establishing in the city and the county into something called the Cross Charlotte Trail, which would be a 26-mile continuous trail running from the Pineville area to the Cabarrus County line through Uptown Charlotte. We've done a lot of programs on various things on this program over the years, and I have never seen social media things come in that are universally popular. I hold in my hand two pages of comments, none of which are negative. Elise on Twitter says it would mean being able to safely navigate on a bike all over the city. Adam on Twitter, I'd be able to more conveniently and safely bike to work. Jeremy on Facebook, love the greenways. Ran at McAlpine until construction, now at 4 Mile Creek. Connection will be awesome for our community. Sarah on Facebook, connecting the greenways will allow for people to get around Charlotte without having to use the roadways and have a scenic exercise route. You've heard all this before, haven't you?
All the time.
John, greenways are great but limited. Well, this is a kind of a negative one. I like exercising on the greenway in Gastonia and have been on the Sugar Creek Greenway in Charlotte. I wish both were much longer and unified, but I long advocated the establishment of a park system similar to that of many world-class cities. I find that the dialogue regarding public parks in Charlotte is staged in such a way that when advocating parks, the term greenway is misused as a synonym. I found that the greenways in this metro are built on the most marginal land, usually on utility rights of way and creeks that also serve as stormwater runoff. To what extent did the guests see the need for large parks in Charlotte a necessity? Back into this conversation, Jay.
Well, completely different subject there, but there's a large demand for parks of all size and use. Active recreation needs is large regional parks like the one we're building in Matthews right now that is specifically being built for soccer. And passive parks like and urban parks like Ramir Bearden, so and First Ward Park that is currently under construction. So I think the demand is across the board. We do know from surveys that the demand for trails is kind of highest ranked out of all those, but the demand is across the board for all types of projects.
He talked about his trail in Gastonia, and I know that there's something called the Carolina Thread Trail that's in development as well. Is this a part of the Carolina Thread Trail? Will it become a part of it?
It is, yes. Little Sugar Creek and Mallard together, and which really becomes the Cross Charlotte Trail, is the main north-south corridor that is delineated as part of the Carolina Trail.
And Little Sugar Creek Park, Greenway, runs through the through Freedom Park.
Correct.
Are there plans to run it through more parks so that it opens up into a savanna-like opportunity for people going down the trail?
Yes, Mike, there's several parks along the alignment and open spaces, which is going to be one of the great benefits and experiences of the trails, that you'll be going through urban areas and then you'll suddenly be in a park or in a wooded area, particularly Cordelia Park, which is in the neighborhood of Optimist Park on Davidson Street. One of the first segments that the city and county is working together to put on the ground of the Cross Charlotte Trail will be an extension of Little Sugar Creek under Parkwood Road north through Cordelia Park to the intersection of 24th and Davidson, which would get you to within, as you probably know, a couple blocks of the No Doubt Brewery and 3 blocks of Amelie's, another very popular destination in that area.
Well, let's go back to John's comment from Gastoni, where he says a dialogue regarding public parks in Charlotte is staged in such a way that when advocating parks, the term greenway is misused as a synonym. And I have heard greenways and trails referred to as linear parks. Is that not accurate?
I think it is. I mean, the definition of a greenway can be very broad. It may or may not include a trail. In our case, it typically does include a trail. And we have worked hard, especially in the urban section of Little Sugar Creek Greenway, to make places, to make gathering points, pocket parks. Mm-hmm. If you look at the segment between 3rd and 4th Street, where the park area with the Captain Jack statue, or Midtown Park, which is just downstream from the Metropolitan development, those are areas that are meant to be stopping points, gathering points, event locations along the Greenway. So we have created a linear park there.
Candace, do you see a reason to make the delineation between what we think of as a park and greenways being a park or a recreational opportunity or an economic development opportunity? Doesn't it all increase economic development and property values?
I think well-sited, well-designed, and well-managed parks of all kinds create economic value. I think there's a fair amount of evidence that trails are one of the highest drivers of economic value. That's certainly not the only reason one would invest in parks. And I think the great urban park systems consist of a diversity of kinds of parks, big regional parks that are mostly passive, downtown parks that are highly programmed, neighborhood parks that are lightly programmed, and trails. And I found the gentleman from Gastonia's comment interesting, particularly in light of the fact that we've just completed a piece of work for the city of Dallas looking at the value created by their park system. And the key recommendation coming out of that, a study that was designed to help the Parks Department think about where they were going to invest next, was that they needed to undertake an effort similar to this one to connect their disconnected parks and in doing so, link more conventional, larger kinds of parks to create a linked system of parks and other assets in the city.
I want to come back to something I think you said, Candace, about the Metropolitan and its intersection with the Sugar Creek Greenway getting national recognition as kind of a best practice location for what we're trying to achieve here. I think that was you who said that, so expand on that if you would. Where is this national recognition coming from, and what makes it so special?
Well, there's a small set of prestigious organizations to which those of us who care about urban real estate development belong, and conferences that we go to. Probably the leading such organization is the Urban Land Institute, and Metropolitan and Little Sugar Creek Greenway have been featured at that on a couple of occasions, as well as at the International Economic Development Conference and a variety of other kinds of gathering places for developers, public policymakers, elected and staff of cities, all of whom are trying to learn from each other and bring best practices from elsewhere to their own cities.
We are being inundated by social media interaction here, so let me share some more comments that have been coming in as we've been talking. Gerald in Charlotte writes, I'm a 62-year-old male who lives in the Mallard Creek community and bikes at least nearly 100 miles a week. Most of my local riding now would be characterized as for pleasure and fitness along the Mallard Creek and connected greenways. The Cross Charlotte Trail will add destination riding to activities in town and to areas further south. This trail will provide transportation and fitness opportunities for thousands at a fraction of the costs of other transportation projects. I just hope that this project is complete while I still have many years of active riding left. What is the timeline for the completion of all of this?
Michael, we don't have a set timeline for this yet. Projects like this involve a lot of obstacles and a lot of challenges, but a lot of opportunities too. So the most difficult section to complete that has the most opportunity is probably going to be between around where the Greenway starts in NoDA, mm-hmm. what I just mentioned, North Cordelia Park, and getting up two near the intersection of Tryon Street and Old Concord Road, where we'll link up Toby Creek. That's kind of the northeast corridor. It'll be paralleling the light rail somewhere through there. There's not a creek in there. So when all the other greenways kind of follow a creek in a floodplain, and usually there's real estate that's not developed. There's not buildings there.
Because it's a floodplain.
So there's a swath of land, and that's why the greenways have come along. So that's the high ground there in the city, and that's where the city's taking on the challenge of we need to create that swath of land. We'll have to purchase it, have to put it together. And getting back to economic development, we already have several developers approaching us looking for opportunities to build on the trail through
to there. Make something a greenway. Is there a particular design strategy? Does it have to be a certain width? Does it have to be a certain type of trail surface? I mean, are there parameters that you have to follow?
Yes, we do have some general minimum guidelines that we follow. Historically, it's been a 10-foot paved trail as a minimum. We are quickly moving to a 12-foot width as a minimum, and that's based on the popularity and the traffic that's being generated by these things, kind of making that wider, that more width necessary.
And 12 feet is what, the standard one-lane road?
Correct,
for
yes.
a car?
11 to 12 feet. Okay.
Michael, I would add to that what we're seeing, we kind of call it the evolution of trails in cities around the country, is you have pedestrians and cyclists kind of mixing together, and people experience this on Little Sugar Creek Greenway. And people are looking for some separation because the bikes are moving faster than the walkers, et cetera. So a lot of cities are moving to even wider trails that could be separated that would have, say, a 6-foot section for pedestrians and then kind of a two-way street for cyclists that would be maybe 10 feet wide. So the city in some of those sections, the area I was talking about, is looking to go even wider where possible to create that kind of cross-section.
Now, the New York City High Line Trail was built on an abandoned railroad trestle, elevated trestle, Candace. How wide is that?
Oh, now you're challenging the designer among us.
How wide do you think?
the trail itself is probably 12 feet, but they don't let bikes up, so it's all pedestrian.
But there's isn't there a lot of greenery along that trail?
Yes. So the park, to return to the critique of the gentleman from Gastonia, from edge to edge to ensure that you're not going to fall off, is probably 30 feet.
Okay.
And so you're walking through a paved trail surrounded by greenery and some programming where it widens out in a couple of spots.
And going back to John and Gastonia, who made a lot of interesting points, is there anything wrong with putting trails and greenways along creek beds that are also serving as floodplains? Does it make sense to do that? Or would there be a better way to do it other than doing it that way?
So
I think doing double duty, as Jay suggested a moment ago, is good. I mean, it augments your return on investment. I think what you want to ensure, though, is that by doing double duty, that you're also connecting strength. So the trails that create real value are those that connect activity centers of commerce, as you suggested when we began. But there's no reason why they can't be laid out along creek beds and utility right-of-ways.
There are a lot of things to talk about here and a lot of listener comments that I want to get to, but one nearby city is quickly building a reputation for doing many things right in a way that has dramatically improved both the look and the feel of their city, but also the quality of life there. That city is Greenville, South Carolina, and Ty Houck is Director of Greenways, Natural and Historic Resources for the Greenville County Department of Parks, Recreation, and Tourism. He spent 12 years with South Carolina State Park System and developed and constructed over 12 miles of trail around the Palmetto State. Now he's helping to oversee the Greenville Health System Swamp Rabbit Trail, which Candace is familiar with. Ty, thank you for joining us. Are you there, Ty? Let me try this again. Are you there, Ty?
Yes, I am.
Good. For those who have lived or never lived in or visited Greenville, exactly where is the Greenville Health System Swamp Rabbit Trail and why the name?
Well, currently it starts just north of the small town of Traveler's Rest and continues through Traveler's Rest down along the Reedy River corridor and then all the way through the city of Greenville. And then we have a couple other sections that are trying to meet in the middle as we grow. The Swamp Rabbit name was a fortunate thing for us. The rail line that used to run down the track there went through a Piedmont swamp, and The riders quickly affectionately named it the Swamp Rabbit because it hopped. It wasn't a very smooth line even back in the 1800s, and it just kind of hopped down the trail. So they nicknamed it the Swamp Rabbit, and it just turned out to be a good name for us to carry on as we converted it into a trail system.
And how long has this been up and running?
We opened the first section in 2009. We opened the first four-mile section in 2009.
And is it complete now? Is it going to be 12 miles forever, or are you planning to expand it beyond its current length?
The popularity of it, and our goal always has been, is to improve opportunities for active community transportation. So we're definitely not done. I do jokingly say it's generational job security because it is a big county, and then we're also already in conversations with Lawrence County, and I'm actually speaking later on today in Hendersonville about connectivity. So no, we're not finished, and it's really just a matter of where the opportunities lie in order to repeat the successes that we've had over the last 6 years.
Now, as I understand this, this was not the brainchild originally of the county or the city of Greenville. It was a nonprofit organization that raised money to buy this right of way along this old rail line, and they put it in the Rails to Trails Bank. I'm not sure what that is. I've never heard of that before. But who is this nonprofit? What's the Rails to Trails Bank, and when did it actually become a part of the county system of parks and greenways in Greenville?
Yeah, so kind of a couple to answer all the questions pretty much at once. Upstate Forever is a smart growth land and water conservation organization in the 10-county area of the upstate of South Carolina. And the Rails to Trail Bank is something through Rails to Trails at a national level, and essentially it gives you notice that a current rail corridor is in the process, the federal process of abandonment. And Upstate Forever got notice of that. A lot of community leaders saw the opportunity back in the 90s for the evolution of the trail, which was just it went up into the mountains but never went any further than Jones Gap State Park. And Upstate Forever kind of spearheaded the charge and brought the collective energies together. The rail bank, like you mentioned, is a very important term because we run into that whenever we talk about new trail development, and I think any community that I've spoken with has the same problem, is we are just temporary holders of a transportation corridor, and it's called interim trail use. It's the Surface Transportation Board is allowing us to run a trail system on a corridor that potentially, if viable, could convert back into interstate rail corridor.
Hmm. I have about 90 seconds left in this segment. I know this has been pretty attractive to taxpayers in Greenville County. They like this, as we have been told in Charlotte, Mecklenburg. People like the Greenway development that we've been having going on here for the last 10 or 15 years. And you say that the trail has literally transformed the town of Travelers Rest. How so?
I think if you take a four-lane road and turn it into a pedestrian-oriented corridor with a greenway system, and then you also make the downtown center more inviting, you get that transformation. I think a lot of communities can see that.
How much money can you attribute to the bottom line of businesses along that corridor as a result of this trail being opened?
Working with Clemson, we calculated that $6.7 million of tourism revenue come into the Travelers Rest area every year.
Wow, that's substantial. And before the trail, how do those numbers compare?
We didn't have before numbers, but I will tell you that before the trail, they had four businesses in their downtown district area, the three-block area. Now they have 65.
Wow. Ty Houck is Director of Greenways, Natural and Historic Resources for Greenville County, South Carolina's Department of Parks, Recreation, and Tourism, and he joins us to talk about their Greenville Health System Swamp Rabbit Trail, 12 miles long. Thank you for joining us, Ty. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more in a moment. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Charlotte Living Magazine. The 26th annual Chef's Best 2015 features a four-course meal, music, live auction, and benefits the Community Food Resource or Rescue Program. July 31st, tickets at secondharvestmetrolina.org. President Obama begins a campaign to sell the Iran nuclear deal here at home and also abroad. A look at efforts to address objections from Congress and the concerns of key allies like Israel and Saudi Arabia. The topic of the conversation in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock on The Diane Rehm Show. If you'd like to join our conversation about the Greenway stretching from, well, from here to California, now's the time. You can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org or search for WFAE on Facebook or Twitter. We're coming right back.
Each day, All Things Considered brings you unparalleled insight into the latest news. We interview experts who have deep knowledge on topics of the day, who have the skills to explain. We unravel complex issues that sometimes seem too hard to grasp. I'm Melissa Block. Join us every afternoon for All Things Considered from NPR News. Your appointment with excellence.
All Things Considered from 4 to 6:30 on 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR News source.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking to Joe Fry, who's project manager of the Cross Charlotte Trail for the City of Charlotte, Jay Higginbotham, senior project manager for Mecklenburg County's asset and Mecklenburg County's asset and facility manager for the Park and Recreation System.
Close enough.
Candace Damon, big titles. Candace Damon, vice chairman of HRNA Advisors. They're a consulting firm that deals with this all over the and many other kinds of projects all over the country in terms of economic development. The city, Jay, has not traditionally been involved in parks development. That's a county thing. You say that the number of county-built greenways and trails has now reached critical mass necessary for considering them a transportation option. Is that why the city is now involved?
That's exactly why the city's involved, Michael. The demand is there, as we found out, even more so than we imagined now that we've gone to the public with this project. And so we see this as a transportation facility, possibility, a way for people to get around the city without having to get into their cars. And as we've talked about, it's also the evidence of the economic development potential of these trails in other cities is very compelling. And so that's why the city has entered into this kind of joint project with the county.
In a presentation that one of the two of you, maybe both of you, put together, I think for Charlotte City Council on the Cross Charlotte Trail, the idea was presented as 26 miles of seamlessly connected trail crossing Charlotte, comfortably separated from automobile traffic with dozens of destinations and neighborhoods along the way. How does that create economic development? Where does that create economic? Is it simply a matter of raising the property values of the homes along the Greenway, or is there a lot more to it than that?
I think there's a lot more to it than that. I think what that would represent is a really unique public asset in the country. And so, as I said a few moments ago, there are lots of examples of 2 to 5 mile trails that are very attractive, and that are creating incremental residential value and getting developers to choose to build near them rather than someplace else. There aren't many examples of 20 to 30 mile networks of trails that connect the strengths of a region in a single system. And what that has the potential to do is not just create incremental real estate value, but really brand Charlotte as a different kind of place, a place that is more desirable place to locate your business, a more desirable place to live, a place where the kinds of people that desirable employers want to employ are living. And that's really a game changer for the city.
Yeah, I think to expand on that from the quality of life perspective of this, you look at Little Sugar Creek, the urban section, especially from Moorhead through the 7th Street area. You're looking at an area that just 10 years ago was completely or almost completely covered with parking deck.
Right.
That's an area that had been that way since the 50s. There was a mall there. Everybody, you know, remembers the Charlottetown Mall. And they remember it getting flooded. So when you look at the whole package here as far as opening up the floodplain, redeveloping that floodplain in a way that better manages and stores the flood waters that will definitely come through there since it's draining all of the impervious downtown area of Charlotte. And you couple that with placemaking of the trail itself and joined, specifically planned development such as the Metropolitan, where the designs between the private sector and the public sector are seamless and combined, then you get a whole package. You get an increased quality of life through there that simply wasn't there before. Mm-hmm. You had a covered and dead stream with no wildlife whatsoever, and you can now go shopping at Trader Joe's and turn around and see a kingfisher flying up and down the creek corridor. So it's a whole package.
There are segments of this proposed trail for which the county is already in the design stages. A section is up and running, or a section up around Highway 49, I should say, in the University area and between Park Road and the Carolina Pavilion, on which construction is scheduled to begin this year. And another area further south on which construction is scheduled to start next year, with the city filling in the missing segment. If I've done the math right, that means about 5.5 miles to be completed by the county and nearly 13 miles to be completed by the city.
That's correct, Mike.
When will the city get involved?
The city's involved right now. As I mentioned earlier, we're already designing that missing link of Little Sugar Creek Greenway from Brandywine to Tivola, and we expect to complete that by 2020, in the same timeline that the county will continue that on down to Pineville. We're also master planning the segment to the north that will not follow the creek necessarily, all of it. Mm-hmm. And that's on a different timeline that will be determined. We're going to wrap up that master plan at the end of this year, and it'll have kind of an outlook of how we should complete the rest of that to get Toby Creek.
What, if anything, like funding, is standing in the way of this?
Well, aside from funding, and most of the county segments of that are planned as part of this are actually funded, or at least in the funding picture over the next 3 to 4 fiscal years. But generally speaking, the biggest obstacle to Greenway development is the regulatory issues that we face. Since we are in the floodplains, we do have to deal with the buffer requirements and the floodplain requirements. We're sharing that space with any number of utilities, whether it be sewer or natural gas, Duke Energy. So the coordination and getting over the regulatory issues there are probably the biggest obstacle, which makes the development timeline a little longer than say, a park.
Michael Kirschman, who is with the County Parks Department, says that when the greenway that passes through the center of town, the Little Sugar Creek Greenway, was being built, they expected that for every dollar of taxpayer expense to build that greenway, they expected $3 in private development and private funding to follow. In reality, it was more than 8-1, $8 for every dollar spent. Is that what's happening all over the country, Candace?
Absolutely. Trails are clearly one of the most cost-effective investments that the public sector can make, to the extent that the public sector is making investments to incentivize private investment. What we just showed in Dallas is that on an operating basis, so once you've paid for the trail, that the return on investment, the annual return on investment in Dallas in trails is 50-1.
Wow.
Which is to say that the tax receipts of the city relative to the cost of operating and maintaining the trails every year is 50-1.
How does this compare to the Lynx Blue Line? There were a lot of naysayers before that went in, and afterward, everything that the people who were proponents of the Lynx said would happen has happened in spades. Development is out of control along parts of that rail line.
How does
the parks development or economic development or the Greenway economic development potential compare to that?
I can't speak to the numbers in terms of like a 8-1 or whatever return on investment from the Blue Line, but if you've been in South End lately, thousands of apartments, incredible infill development, which was the city's goal in creating that mass transit, which we need the transit. Mm-hmm. We need the mass transit. The city's going to grow by over 300,000 people in the next 15, 20 years. But along with that, I'll point out that there's the rail trail through South End that I think is also compelled people to do some of that construction. Mm-hmm. And is an attractor for, especially for millennials.
Yeah.
And that's that younger generation who's really, they're getting their driver's licenses later or not getting that, and they're really looking for places that they can get around without driving a car.
Now, as Candace has told us, this is happening all over the country, at least in important places or places trying to be important. According to the Alliance for Bicycling and Walking, This actually really surprises me. New York City is at the top of the list with over 300 miles of trails, followed by Phoenix, Austin, Albuquerque, Houston, and Dallas. Charlotte is 36th out of 36 cities, below Philadelphia, below Washington, below Los Angeles, below Nashville, even Raleigh.
Right, Mike.
What have these trails meant to those other cities? And how long ago did they start planning for these things, Candace?
Well, I know Joe has showed me that chart. I will say, as a native New Yorker, when you have to start with a little bit of skepticism about what people are counting as trails.
Okay. So Fifth Avenue is not a trail, is it?
Well, no, Fifth Avenue isn't a trail. But we do have a we are blessed with an extraordinary network of very large parks that were designed and laid out in a way that makes it possible to experience their entirety, which isn't true in a lot of other cities. So Central Park and Prospect Park, you can get around Central Park and Prospect Park, which are really large parks. That getting around system, the pathways within the parks, count towards our trail numbers. A little bit different than what you all have in mind. And then in places like Los Angeles and Phoenix, what you're seeing is as much the sprawl of those cities as the fact that they have, in fact, invested in trails. Notwithstanding that, there are similarly situated cities to Charlotte on the list that have invested more in trails earlier than Charlotte has. But again, I think few with the ambition of this effort and its plausible benefit.
Let me go back to some of the comments we've been getting as we've been talking. Nikki on Facebook, I'm really looking forward to hearing about the plans that connect the greenways. I use them frequently for running by myself and with my children and family walks. If they connected and were more prevalent, I would absolutely use them to get to and from shops and restaurants. I often park my car in the Metropolitan so I can run, then shop at Target or Trader Joe's. So it's happening. Richmond writes, why not turn it into a true alternate form of transportation and allow golf carts?
Well, there are certain safety concerns there from the county's perspective that have meant that motorized vehicles are prohibited outside of assistant
even
vehicles.
Segways.
Yes, that is our policy. Okay. Outside of mobility devices. They travel faster. They take up a lot of space. They would lead to, given the width of our trails, they would lead to multiple and often user conflicts.
Do golf carts and segways travel faster than bicycles?
Probably not bicycles, but you've got an issue of mass with a golf cart and the space that they take up.
Robert writes, thanks for the discussion this morning. I loved using the Greenway when I lived in Charlotte, but now we live in Mount Holly, and I know that there is a small natural obstacle in the way, but are there any plans to make this go to the Gaston County line in addition to the Cabarrus County line?
Gaston County is part of the Thread Trail network that is out there. There is a rather small obstacle in the Catawba River that's out there that would be very difficult and costly to cross with a dedicated pedestrian path, but it is part of the Thread Trail network.
Beth in Charlotte writes, I live just south of South Park in the Beverly Woods neighborhood, a traditional 60s community. Is there any hope for Greenway access here? Currently we have to drive to get to the Greenway. Would love to be connected.
Beverly Woods, let's see, that is on the east side of Park Road, which does make it a little more difficult to get to the Little Sugar Creek Corridor, which is on the west side of Park Road. I'm trying to remember if there's any major creek corridors that go through Beverly Woods that are part of the master plan. And I'm not thinking of any currently. I know that there would be at-grade ways to do that, which would require crossing Park Road, but none are coming to mind specifically.
From the Cross Charlotte Trail Twitter account, comes this piece of information. The Cross Charlotte Trail will not end at the county state line. We're working to connect hashtag XCLT to greater region, north to Statesville and south to Great Falls, South Carolina. When does that get underway? Who's responsible for that? That's out of your jurisdiction.
Well, certainly, yes. It goes back to the Carolina Thread Trail system, which does have connectors in both the north and south direction.
How far away are we from having any kind of Carolina Thread Trail connection be realized to the point where it's almost built out?
Oh, gosh.
20, 30, 40 years away?
Probably. You know, I know that there's – I don't know the number of miles of the Thread Trail that are on the ground, but there are a lot. But certainly a significant amount of time will go by before that's built out.
Joe Fry, you keep telling people not to focus on the money used to build the trail, but on the money generated by return on investment. How much will it cost, and what do you anticipate the economic benefit to be?
Well, Michael, the planned budget for the city's portions right now is $35 million. $5 million was approved in the bond referendum this past November by voters, and the next $30 million to carry out the master plan and complete it will be decided on by voters in the 2016 referendum. But as I like to say, I don't see it as spending money. I see it as investing money that we'll get return on. And that gets back to what we talked about and Michael Kirschman with the Park and Rec talked about, 8-to-1 return on investment that they saw in Little Sugar Creek.
I mean, this is not a roadway. It isn't light rail. And as I understand it, it costs about $1 million a mile. Why? What's the $1 million go for?
Well, I think if you think it's just a paved path and we just go and lay down 12 feet of asphalt, you're missing a lot of what's involved. And that gets back to one of the challenges. Jay talked about the permitting being a challenge. There's a lot of engineering challenges, so a lot is spent in planning and design and permitting. But for the city's portions, there's a lot of real estate challenges, as I mentioned, and real estate becomes a big part of the cost.
So when you go around the country, Candace, and you talk to development boards and city councils and county commissions, what seems to be the thing about economic development that gets their attention?
I think return on investment is a very powerful message. I think increasingly commissions like the ones that you listed are trying to figure out whether a public investment is really going to spur private investment and therefore whether it was cost effective.
Candace Damon is vice chairman of HR&A Advisors. They're a consultant group that advises cities and counties and other municipalities all across the country on projects like this. Jay Higginbotham is the senior project manager for Mecklenburg County Asset and Facilities Manager at Parks and Rec. And Joe Fry is the project manager for the Cross Charlotte Trail, which is underway. Thank you all for the hour.
Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins is